Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
What we have here, though, is that despite this progress, many vacant and deteriorating structures remain, creating barriers to continued growth. These properties often remain unmaintained for extended periods of time. They become targets for vandalism and unauthorized entry. They create safety hazards adjacent to properties in public. They suppress nearby property values and redevelopment potential. It's a new policy that now makes it to where we are going to require property owners to register their properties, whether it be abandoned or vacated property. But we're asking those properties to come and register. And that registration will have a fee associated to it. That's a compounding fee. It'll escalate every year. The rate will go up. The longer it stays vacant or abandoned, the higher the price will become every year.
If you're not on the list and you have a vacant property, you'll register with the state. And then if you do not pay the fine, we raise the fine. And if you do not pay the fine, we take away your property. It's a very nice plan. Yes, okay. So
I'm sure Stephen Prestesator's having a heart attack. Listen, I love Stephen Prestesator. He's a good guy. He's a smart guy. Ed Spears, I love Ed. He's a good guy. He's a smart guy. Stephen is the economic development director in Milton. Kind of took over the job that Ed vacated. I think kind of functions as assistant manager as well. Ed Spears is the city manager, city administrator. Samuel's going to kill me. I always get him confused. Anyway, they're looking at a problem in the city of Milton of blight or of just, you know, abandoned properties, properties that are not being taken care of, like the comic book store that's been vacant for forever. And it's keeping us from moving forward. It's ugly. It's a public safety risk because of fire and graffiti and homeless and whatever. And things can fall down, dilapidated structures, even, you know, houses in residential neighborhoods similarly. And so their proposal is, let's create a vacant property registry. And under the vacant property registry, if you have a structure that you're not going to inhabit for 90 days, you just apply on the list. It's $150 for the first year. Then it's $250. Then it's $500 for each subsequent year. And then it's $1,000. Then it's $2,000. Then 6 years and on, it's $4,000 a year. It's an escalating fee structure designed to incentivize you to either inhabit the property and use it, develop it, or sell it. Because otherwise, you know, who's going to want to keep paying $4,000 a year to let a building sit there undeveloped? It's kind of the theory. But they say, and I believe them, they're good people, that they're not trying to push people out. What they're trying to do is generate a conversation and have a discussion about, well, what can we do to help you, you know, as the city? How can we make it better? Because everybody would rather have a city where everything is being developed and flourishing. The problem is, what do we do when the few people don't want to do that? The people who own the property don't want to do that. Well, it's not everybody then. It's everybody with a few exceptions. And that's why you have private property rights. And as I've been saying, you know, making jokes with the German accent, but, you know, we're here from the government. We're here to help. Like, get on this list and pay us a fine. And if you eventually don't remediate your property and don't develop it, well, we can't do anything other than you keep paying the fine. But if you don't pay the fine, then we lien, then we take. You know, that's eventually what happens. All right, so the only person who's really raised any opposition to this is Robert Leek. Every other city council member has been on board either enthusiastically or mostly, and Robert Leek is very conflicted.
You know, I get it. Like, as a business owner, I get it. I mean, I would want, you know, I want everything to look nice, but charging somebody because their property is vacant, and then continuously each year, just that compounding and getting higher. I see an issue in that. If they don't want to get rid of the property, they don't have to.
Fine if the answer is we're not going to do anything.
You know, I personally would want them to sell it, so that way somebody can get a hold of it and they can do something with it. The ones that aren't doing anything. Yeah. But forcing someone, I mean, that's overreach of us.
That's it. I agree with the goal, the want, the desire, the idea, but you can't just go taking people's private property because they're not using it in a way that you like. Unless that was the rules of the game when they bought it. You know, if you want to put in something like this ahead of time as part of your, I don't know, your land use or your zoning or something, but to come in after the fact and tell people who already bought a thing that they got to pay and pay more and then eventually pay more and more, and then if they don't pay, then you'll take. I mean, that's just slow eminent domain. Right? I mean, that's nice socialism, but it's, you know, that's a taking. Right? That's a we're going to take it if you don't do what we want with it. And listen, man, I would love for the city of Pensacola to be able to, I would, force the owners of the old medical facility to do their job. Or force the owners of the Grand Hotel to do their job. And you know, the frustration we live with is that they don't. And it sucks. And especially when you got buildings sitting there for 10 or 20 years, like the comic book store in Milton, it really sucks for a long time. And the reason you can't stop it is because you can't stop it. That's what private property means. And I just think that a lot of people in Milton who hear about this are going to lose their minds because Santa Rosa County is a little bit emphatic about, you know, personal rights and not letting government overreach. So I think Robert is right to raise the question. We'll come back to this in a second. What do you think? 437-1620. John Pickens, that's Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but seeing minor slowdowns on Highway 29 southbound right around the 10 mile road area. So just be aware of that. About a 6-minute delay. But other than that, things look good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. So Heather Lindner's response to Robert Leak.
I had the same question you had when this first came to my attention. I had heard about other communities that were doing this, and I asked staff, I believe it was either Mr. Spears or Mr. Prestesator, you know, can this even be done in Florida? Is it allowed? And, you know, the research was done, and it is. And it's allowed in Florida. So it doesn't seem to be...
Just because it's allowed doesn't mean it's right.
I agree with you in principle, but on this matter... Seeing how many other cities, local governments in general have successfully done this, it's worth it when we've seen for years people allowing their property to be neglected and not functioning as part of our local economy.
Yeah, and I understand where she's coming from. I understand where this policy comes from. But, you know, the problem with forcing people to do the right thing is you're forcing them. Do they own it or don't they own it? Does it belong to them or does it belong to the city and it's just kind of on loan to them as long as they use it the way we want it to? Own means own.
To answer your question as far as, well, what are you going to do for them? Each one is an individual case. You ask the question, what can we do to help you? You tell us what you need. We're not going to come tell you, you need to sell. We're going to ask you, what is it you need so we can make this work and help our community get better? And let them say, well, nothing, get out of my hair. Okay, well, then the second step is to go and start doing things that we can do and get them to change their attitude towards how they approach our city.
God, it just all sounds so coercive and creepy, but it's like socialism with a smile. Well, if they won't do what we want them to do, then we'll just... You know, put a little pressure on, make a little penalty, a couple $1,000s a year, no big deal. And by the way, I don't know that for some of these buildings, even the $4,000 a year is going to matter a whole lot. You know, if that number is enough to really incentivize people, it might need to be like, and not to recommend how to do this better, but like an ad valorem, like a mill or two, you know, start to make it a fairly substantial number. Larry McKee again.
The fines is just, that's just. After the fact, if we can't get that cooperation, you have to get people's attention then in that manner.
Oh, it just all sends shivers down my spine. You got to get their attention so you can make them aware of the problem and gently nudge them towards doing the right thing. Robert Leak?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get cooperation on some. And
that's perfectly okay. The answer of we're not going to do anything with our property in Milton, that's fine. Our obligation, though, now becomes to the neighbors to protect their property values and making sure they're safe in because the buildings are connected.
And don't the neighbors have a right to have a decent-looking neighborhood or the buildings next door? By the way, this is residential. This is not just businesses. This is residential, too. Okay. So if there's an abandoned building in your neighborhood, you know, same thing. Homesteads might be exempted, but if it's vacant, it's not really a homestead, right? So, you know, this is all over. It's a proposal. It'll be handled next Tuesday at the city council meeting. They'll talk about it next Tuesday with what I would expect might be some public input from people who own things in the city of Milton. But yeah, a lot of people are not going to like this, right? A lot of people are not going to cooperate.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get cooperation on some. And
that's perfectly okay.
But then what do you do when they don't cooperate? There's a stick at the end of that carrot, and there's a punishment at the end of it. Sherry Sebastio, former city councilwoman.
As a business owner and a property owner, nobody wants to have somebody come in and tell you what to do with your property. Nobody wants you to come in and tell them what you can do with your property.
The kind of people who own businesses are not the kind of people who like to be told what to do. Right? They're the most independent people. That's why they own businesses instead of being employees. And now you're telling them they got to do this and this and this with their property. Oh, they're going to lose their minds. They're not going to take this easily. And I would not expect all of them to take it without lawsuits or fight or whatever. And in the free state of Florida.
We can't be telling people what they can do with their properties. People don't buy properties. They buy it for, some people buy it for investment. Some of them buy it for to live in, some of it buy them to run their businesses. But also there's times when you buy businesses and you expect you're gonna do something with it, but then life happens and you don't get it done. Or it may sit 3, 4, 5 years, even longer.
Somebody texted me, we will make your attitude right, we will get your attention until you have the right attitude, until you cooperate. Yeah, just, again, these are all good people. They really are. Genuinely good people trying to do a genuinely good thing of making the city better off. But, you know, but methods matter.
But you still cannot be telling people what to do with their business. And for you, if I was a business owner and you came to me and I own a piece of property and you said, if you don't do something with that property right now, and I may not have the funds, who knows what's going on in my world.
Yep.
That I can't do that right now. For you to tell me that I have to get it done or you're going to start fining me. I don't think so. You're going to run, if you think that, if I hear people, some people say that we're not business friendly. You think you're not business, you hear people say it, they're going to say it more if you do something like that.
Will they come to town if this is what's being done? Now, there was an interesting moment kind of after the discussion. It's sort of what you call a hot mic moment, I guess. Robert Leake and Ed Spears. Robert Leake has been the one who's been like very 50-50, but the only one really raising objection until Shari Sebastian, who's not on the council anymore. And Ed Spears were talking on a kind of a hot mic afterwards. And this is, I think this is Robert Leake is going to start here.
No,
this is Ed is going to talk here.
No, I mean, the fine be like it is, you know, it's 150 and then 250. But after that, if you're going to sit on something that long and not do anything with it.
If you're going to sit on something and not do anything with it.
Okay, but we've got to protect your neighbors. We've got to protect the city.
Got to protect the neighbors.
I get it.
We can't just let it.
I mean, we're 50-50 in my household because Amber and I have discussed it before. She's like, fine them. Find the empty, vacant. I'm like, I get it. I want to see people in there too.
And if your intent is buy and hold, that's perfectly fine. Just know that these numbers are in place.
And it's true. If you buy and hold, you just have to pay the amount. You can still do that. There's nothing that prohibits you from doing it. It's when you don't pay that things start to happen.
Man, this is going to be
fun. It's going to be fun.
For an election year, anybody who votes for this is going to the House, guaranteed.
So Robert Leake there says, this is going to be, and then he kind of trails off, and Ed's like, it's going to be fun. And Robert's like, man, anybody who votes for this in an election year, they're going to the House, which I assume he means getting taken to the woodshed. Like, the voters will not support this. Now, I think some will. I think some will look at this and think, finally, thank God, they're clearing up the blight. And there's other ones who are like, you're going to do what?
Because that's telling everybody, if your property goes vacant, we're going to fine you. If you don't fix it, we're taking it.
That's a long, long process. That's a long way down the road.
And he's right. It is a long process, but that's the end of the process. The end of the line is we're going to do something, foreclose on it. If you don't do the right stuff with all the very noble and correct justifications, but it is slow, eminent domain. It is, and I know I keep saying this, it's socialism with a smile, but it is. Look, all these people are trying to do a good thing. At some point, you have to decide, what are the limits to my ability to do a good thing? Does private property trump what the neighbors want and what the society wants? I'd say yes. What the law says is a different question. What the voters say is a different question, right?
My goal would be that first letter that says, hey, we got this new program. You've got to register your property and you got to pay $150. What do you mean? I'm talking about I have to pay $150. And here's a phone call. Thank you for calling us. We've been trying to get in touch with you for a very long time.
It's saying, you know, somebody gets a letter and they call up. What's with this $150? Well, thank you for calling us. We've been trying to reach you for forever.
Your property is, you know, causing problems. What are your ideas for it? Do you have any ideas? Are you intending to do anything?
What do you want to do with it?
What are you looking at? And just starting that dialogue. Because that's the problem now. We've never seen the comic book guy. I've worked here 8 years.
I've worked here 8 years. I've never seen the comic book guy.
You know, I'm afraid they're just going to find his body somewhere decayed.
I'm afraid we're going to find him dead somewhere because we don't know. We can't find it. So I get both sides on this. I just tell you how I vote. You know, principles are principles. Life, liberty, and property. There's a certain time at which you cannot just take other people's property if they're not using it the way you like. Got a lot of texts. We'll get to those in just a minute. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. Final thoughts, John? You've heard me do this three times now.
Yeah, dude.
Am I wrong about how Milton is going to react to this?
You are not wrong at all.
All right,
because I'm already reacting.
Yeah, as a resident.
As a resident.
You're like, you're going to do what? And you don't even own a business in the city, but the idea of them taking or fining or whatever, it's so offensive, right?
Want. Yeah. Wow.
Even though you get the point.
Yep.
All right, go on.
All right, so no accidents to let you know about right now. Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road, experiencing about a 10-minute delay. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, that's experiencing about an 8-minute delay. But other than that, we are good. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's strength for life.
Consider with me the topic of ego. Proverbs 16 explains that an unchecked, insufferable ego will lead to destruction and to a fall. Ego is your enemy. It's your enemy because it inhibits you from learning. You can't teach someone something that they think they already know. Also, ego is your enemy because it destroys relationships. Eventually, other people tire of you if you're self-absorbed and egotistical. Further, ego is your enemy because it's antithetical to the gospel. After all, it's for by grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. And the cure to ego is to have a God confidence. It's okay to be confident in the gifts that God has entrusted to you. To avoid being egotistical, you must never forget that God gave you those gifts. So be confident in Him and then avoid the destruction that comes from an insufferable ego.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Spring is here. Oh yeah, and it's time to warm things up with the new slow smoke menu at Sonny's Barbecue. Whether it's our brisket grilled cheese, the hot link loaded mac, or the amazing new peach cobbler egg rolls, you're sure to love them. Maybe you're throwing a party and need some barbecue catered. We can help with that. Whether you're picking up, need it delivered, or a team to come out and serve. With four locations in the News Radio area, visit sonnysbbq.com to learn more or order today. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Good dental health starts at the beginning of life. For infants, wipe their gums with a clean, soft cloth after feeding and make sure to schedule your child's initial dental visit before their first birthday. As your child grows, make sure they brush twice a day and floss before bed, limit sugary snacks and drinks, and schedule regular dental checkups. Focusing on healthy dental habits early helps children grow into healthy adults. Visit floridahealth.gov/dentalhealth to learn more. This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Health and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Attention on deck, Pensacola. Mark your calendars for the Pensacola Navy Day celebration, May 8th through the 10th, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union and the Pensacola Ice Flyers. As the cradle of naval aviation, Pensacola's relationship with the military runs deep. This exciting event celebrates our ties to the armed forces, honoring those serving at Naval Air Station Pensacola and beyond. Navy Days kicks off on Friday, May 8th, with a golf tournament and black tie night at the museum gala at the National Naval Aviation Museum. On Saturday, May 9th, don't miss the 4K run walk and patriotic parade through downtown Pensacola. The festivities continue at Plaza de Luna with a family fun fest. And Sunday, May 10th, join us at Museum Plaza for a special Modern El Dorados concert presented by the City of Pensacola. Join residents and visitors alike in celebrating over two centuries of Pensacola's ties to the world's finest military forces. Visit PensacolaNavyDays.org for details, lodging specials, and how to get involved. involved.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Sir, rebel ships are coming into our sector.
Good. Our first catch of the day.
Oh, man, loads of texts on the subject of what Milton is doing, proposing to do when it comes to vacant and abandoned properties. And, yes, it is all, including homes. Somebody says, I agree with you. It's overreach. Write it in the sales contract prior to the purchase like an HOA. And if they did, yeah, that's a completely different situation. The Greater Milton HOA, pound sand.
News. I'm CJ Papa. U.S. Central Command pushing back hard after Iran claimed it struck a U.S. Navy ship with missiles. CENTCOM spokesman Captain Tim Hawkins telling Fox News, this is Iranian propaganda. They made this up. It's not true. Meanwhile,
the White House says it's launching Project Freedom to essentially free up ships that have been stuck in the Persian Gulf for roughly 2 months now. Now, the Joint Maritime Information Center is telling ships to cross the strait in Oman's waters under what's been called an enhanced security area to protect those ships.
Fox's Mark Meredith of the White House, suspected White House correspondent's dinner shooter. That's Cole Allen. Expect to return to court today. We're told the hearing is about the 31-year-old's confinement conditions. The mass shooting suspects in Edmond, Oklahoma, still on the loose, according to cops. At least a dozen people hit by gunfire during a large event at a park. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31. We've got sunshine and 56 degrees right now. We're going to get to a full look at our forecast. That's up in just a few minutes. First, our news headlines today. Daily public visitor access has been restored at NAS Pensacola. Good news for anybody who wants to catch tomorrow's Blue Angels practice from the best seat in the house, the National Naval Aviation Museum flight line. The museum website now featuring a pop-up which says the base has returned to normal operations and welcoming visitors back. The Blues do have practices scheduled Tuesday and Wednesday this week, with Wednesday including an autograph session at the museum afterwards. Practices are also scheduled on the 12th, 13th, and 27th of this month. Visitor access is allowed 7 days a week. You have to enter through the west gate on Blue Angel Parkway, and you need a valid real ID or passport to get on board. An Alabama woman facing charges for allegedly helping her son escape after a murder in cantonment last March. Sonia Nicole Cross McAdoo is charged with accessory to murder after the fact for allegedly driving to Escambia County after the shooting and taking her son, 29-year-old Devon Cantrell Williamson, back to Montgomery, Alabama. Williamson's accused of shooting Tyshawn McDowell in the chest over a gambling dispute. Williamson fled to Houston and then Arizona. He was ultimately arrested at a bus stop in Phoenix by the U.S. Marshals Task Force with a ticket to El Paso in his pocket. McDowell's body was found in a wooded area near Highway 112 in Baldwin County. Well, national gas prices keep rising. Escambia County continuing to have some of the cheapest fuel in Florida. According to AAA, local fuel prices average $3.95 a gallon. In Escambia County, $4.01 in Santa Rosa, the statewide average showing at $4.33, the national average at $4.45 today. That's up about 30 cents from 1 week ago. Two teenagers were rescued near Fort Morgan after a strong current pushed them offshore on a float Saturday. Baldwin County officials say they deployed a newly acquired remote-controlled rescue device. It's called USAFE. They say it reached the teens quickly, and deputies didn't even have to get in the water. Both teenagers were brought safely back to shore. Officials say the technology is a major step forward for beach safety. And, of course, they're urging beachgoers to make sure they always check current conditions before entering the Gulf. Well, a fire at USF St. Pete could have some devastating implications for researchers there. The Marine Science Lab caught on fire over the weekend, and it may be a total loss. The lab's freezers store research samples that have possibly been destroyed. An oceanography professor says the samples represent the works of many generations of students and researchers. Professor Emeritus Al Hine tells the Tampa Bay Times it would potentially take years to reproduce all of that work. Meanwhile, USF's president said that they'll rebuild stronger than ever and move quickly to ensure the best possible facilities to support their students, faculty, and staff. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by ECUA, making service easier with the new My ECUA mobile app available to download now. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. We've got one accident on the big board right now that's causing some issues over on Highway 29 and 10 Mile Road. Again, that's causing roadblock, which is backing up Highway 29 pretty much. So be aware of that. You might want to plan an alternate route. And also Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a 12-minute delay, and 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, about an 8-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at some lovely weather today, mostly clear skies as you head through that afternoon. Temperatures warming up near 79 degrees for your high, and overnight dropping near 59 degrees. Heading into Tuesday, another lovely, mostly sunny sky day, high near 79 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Going into Wednesday, a few more clouds through the area, 30% chance of some stray sprinkles with a high near 83 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center. We are going to be looking at some lovely weather today, mostly clear skies as you head through that afternoon. Temperatures warming up near 79 degrees for your high, and overnight dropping near 59 degrees. Heading into
We've got right now 56 degrees with sunny skies. Your next news in 30 minutes, and breaking news anytime it happens. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Cerebra said it's looking to sell 28 million shares at $115 to $125 each in its initial public offering. The company would be worth as much as $26.6 billion. This compares to the $23 billion valuation as of February. Cerebra's AI chips are an alternative to NVIDIA's popular GPUs. Oil prices are up this morning by more than 2% after President Trump announced plans to free ships stranded in the Strait of Hormuz due to the conflict in the Middle East. West Texas Intermediate currently hovering at nearly $104 per barrel, Brent at roughly $111. OPEC Plus says it will raise oil output by 188,000 barrels per day in June. It was the cartel's first meeting since the shocking departure of the United Arab Emirates last week. Oil exports from the Middle East remain largely choked off due to the Iran conflict. Futures remain slightly lower as oil prices spike on increased Iran tensions. That's Your Money Now.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for Car Care tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss Car Care tomorrow at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When the news gets complicated, you don't need more volume, you need better questions. Better questions. Hugh Hewitt sits down with lawmakers, legal experts, journalists, and insiders, and actually lets them talk. Lets them talk. Long-form interviews, real context, and time to understand what's really happening behind the headline. Hugh Hewitt. Hugh Hewitt. Weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local. Dependable.
Dependable.
You know, well, I'm
my chicken fried. And cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Jimmy Patronis is our congressman for Florida, Northwest Florida District 1, and he joins us typically every Monday at about this time. Jimmy, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. So lots of big things to get to. Let's talk first about the shutdown being over. It's, as many times as I've read the reports, it's still not 100% clear to me, and maybe that's my stupidity, but what has and has not been funded? Where are we really at?
So essentially, everything's been funded through the end of President Trump's term. Customs and Border Patrol will have to be funded through what's called reconciliation. The request that the Democrats are making in order to get them to work with us on funding the government, they're not reasonable. They use this as a talking point with their base in order to raise money. So that element of Homeland Security will be funded through what's called reconciliation, and we'll have that wrapped up before June 1. I think there's a deadline there too.
Okay, so everything except CBP is funded through the end of the administration. What did they get? I mean, how can they? What is the win here for the Democrats, if anything?
Well, I think what they get is we presented something less. The Senate actually presented something less Customs and Border Patrol. So, you know, so all these other elements of government that they don't have the ability to monetize for themselves in a political sense, they're okay with. But that's the one there that plays well with their base, and so they concede on all these others. There was Mark Wayne Mullen, the Homeland Security Secretary, was on TV this week. And he said that Schumer said, look, he says, we'll fund everything after the primary election's over. I've got to get past all this with my candidates. So, I mean, it becomes very political for them in order to win their primary elections for their base.
And am I right? Tell me if I'm wrong about this. I thought that Democrats wanted to zero budget ICE and Customs and Border Patrol. Like, they wanted to eliminate that budget entirely so that we could not have immigration or border protection. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean that's right now they do not have money to operate.
Wow.
We funded some of it through the One Big Beautiful Bill, but you've got the support personnel of ICE and Border Patrol that are not funded, and how that was not done, I have no idea. You would think if you're funding an agency through this date, that means you're funding every element of that agency. I've still yet to get the full explanation on that.
60 days has passed. I think we're on day 64 or 65 now with the war in Iraq. Not a war in Iraq has not been declared. Iran, excuse me. Pfft, what's wrong with me?
Right.
But the president is saying that the war is over because we're in a ceasefire. That seems thin to the point of nonsense to me. But the House would have to take up a war powers vote, which, I mean, I've always supported. I think if you're going to be engaged in a war, you should have it declared or not. That's why the law exists. But the Congress isn't willing to do this.
So the president made a comment the other day where, you know, he has ceased operations. And then he alluded to, you know, now the clock has been reset. So there may be an interpretation that the administration's got that if they needed to ramp back operations in a week or 2 weeks or something, then that could be the case. But the president has lost interest in sending our negotiators to Pakistan anymore. It's a waste of time, but also you got to figure out who the heck is even in the capacity to make a decision. But the president is flying next week to China. They've actually been sent over a lot of support staff to anticipate that. I'm sure that is going to have a different type of outside influence on Iran turning the corner and having an understanding of who can actually make a decision in that regime.
All of that I understand, sympathize with, but still that, like, we're going to go 60 days on, take a week off, 60 days on, take a week. I mean, that would be perpetual warfare without a war powers declaration, right? That, like, that can't
it's skirting around if that is the case.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have not seen a written statement out of the White House other than but sometimes when the president makes a statement, sometimes it can be taken literally and sometimes it's figuratively so.
We're talking to our Congressman Jimmy Petronas. Hang on for just a second, Jimmy. We got traffic on the fives with John.
Still dealing with the accident that happened on Highway 29 and West 10 Mile Road. Traffic is flowing very slowly around that, so just be aware. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jimmy Petronas, Congressman. NES Pensacola announced, I think it was on Saturday, that we are now back to regular visitation. I assume this means people will not have to go through the front gate to the Visitor Control Center just to visit the museum, the lighthouse, and so forth. They can see Blue Angels practices, 9 to 3 access with a, you know, real ID or a passport through the West Gate. This has been every time the base shuts down for some reason, it's always a big adversity, but this is good news, right?
Yeah, I'm so glad. I was scrolling through my social media this morning, and I saw where the museum has already posted their hours of operation instructions and everything. So it's such a national treasure, and it's just important to be able to allow people to enjoy it.
And such a, you know, it's a tourism generator for us. It's obviously, you know, mm-hmm. I know the base has wanted to just, you know, when you're in a war and then you've had incursions and, you know, everybody's trying to adapt to the regulations that Big Navy puts down on, you know, everybody's trying to do the right thing. And mission is first, obviously. But, you know, here in Pensacola, we like to be mission first. But don't forget about the public access. You know, it's really important.
Well, again, there's been some flare-ups that just still people create some heightened sensitivity to, and I can respect that.
There was obviously the other sort of big news over the weekend was the collapse of Spirit Airlines. And, you know, I'm old enough where I should remember this better, but I don't remember an airline going away that was of the stature. I mean, it's the budget airline, okay, but of a Spirit where it's been beleaguered, but where you just show up at the airport and you can't take your flights anymore. Like, there had always, it seems to me, has been transition, ownership, people take over routes, or there's early warning, so that problem of showing up and the planes just aren't running. I don't remember that happening before. And you sit on the, Transportation Infrastructure Committee in the House, right?
Yeah, I do. So, you know, we were talking a little pre-show, you know, I think probably the last one of the highest profile would have been Eastern Airlines. But, you know, Eastern had a significant presence as their hub was out of Miami. And so they had a presence all throughout the United States and also in Northwest Florida. But Spirit, really similar, I mean, has a presence at PNS. You know, that flight to Fort Lauderdale, and it was good. I've taken it before. But I tell you, where we're going to really feel it is when you lose a budget airline, it really is checks and balances for all the legacy carriers. So now you have lost that budget airline that keeps those other guys, keep their prices in check. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate. I mean, there's a lot of finger pointing going on. There was a potential merger a few years ago, which would have potentially been good with JetBlue and Spirit. But that didn't get approved by the regulators of the Biden administration.
Yeah, and of course, the Spirit has apparently claimed that a lot of this was due to the rise in price of jet fuel, which, of course, is connected to the war in Iran. So, you know, we'll see how everybody else deals with this, like you say, when the cheap housing isn't keeping down the price of housing. Well, guess what? The price of housing goes up. Well, when the cheap airlines aren't there to keep everybody else in check, you know, because they can't compete away their business, right? That's a problem. Supreme Court last week, two big developments with redistricting. Number one, in Florida, the Senate and the House passed the map that Governor DeSantis put in that's going to cut most likely outcome. It's obviously you have to actually have the election. 4 House seats for the Democrats, and they're screaming. Other people are screaming about the race issue. The Supreme Court hands down the ruling that says you really can't consider race as the basis right. of your districts unless you're considering it to remedy past racial injustice. They struck down the Louisiana districts. Alabama's asking for an expedited review. We have already eliminated ours here in the state of Florida. You're in Congress. This is people who you work with who are affected by this. What's your read on this situation?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, once redistricting started ramping up from state to state to state, Democratic-controlled states were going to react, as we're seeing it in Virginia, where Virginia was really a good mix of what the state's voter mix is, and now it's proposed to be a 10-1, 10 Democrats to one member of Congress, where it used to be, I think, a 6-5. So, I mean, this is going to be something that's going to be all over the country if timing permits with qualifying and primary elections. So some states will do it, some won't. And in the case of Florida, I do think that the governor was – was wanting to see what the full outcome of Virginia was, as this was something he'd already expressed he was wanting to do. But you've also got to negotiate with the legislature and want to bring them in to do this. So, the potential maps, it doesn't change Northwest Florida. It's just those Central Florida and Southeast Florida districts.
You know, what I said about this on the air was the maps in Florida particularly. I hate that it's rushed. I don't like political gerrymandering. I really find that obnoxious and wicked. I don't like anything about this. I like the principle of not focusing on race. I do like that. But I would probably vote against these maps, except that we live in a world where I look at like New England, you know, and Delaware and Vermont and Maine and Massachusetts, and you're telling me there's no Republicans up there at all? They have 100% blue representation. Yeah. And I've lived in Illinois, and you can watch the Illinois map, and it's obvious that so many states have done redistricting in an incredibly partisan way, and you're asking me to just ignore that reality here in Florida? Like, that doesn't seem fair either.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I care about what's happening in Florida, so we don't get as fixated on an Illinois. And Illinois is a poster child for bad behavior. So go look at the Illinois maps and look at some of those corkscrew districts they have up there in order to ensure that there's no Republican representation. So, I mean, this is just now becoming the norm as more states are going to be. And look, some states, like in the case of Florida, there's constitutional amendments that give parameters on what a district can look like. So, the Florida map has to be respect for own state constitution on how those districts are going to be drawn.
Do you think that fair district amendment, I mean, DeSantis' interpretation is that because the Supreme Court struck down the racial component, that all of the fair districting amendment goes away and the limits against political gerrymandering have also gone away. Do you read it that way? Or do you think that, Don Gates has said he would like to, he'll vote to put that stuff back in the state constitution, at least. You can't put the race stuff back in, but you can definitely put the political part back in.
Well, the fair district, I think, is reasonable. You try to keep counties intact. You try to use natural boundaries. Mm-hmm. You're sensitive of municipalities, of trying to, so I think that's reasonable to have an expectation that that's what your district should look like. If you look across the state of Florida, in my opinion, I think fair districts is really being observed in an appropriate way, in a constitutional way. But again, I think there's those out there that do not, they feel like it's the will of the legislature to draw the maps. Let the legislature draw the maps. If you don't like the way the legislature draws the maps, then vote your legislators out.
Yeah, and I'm with you. This to me is one more example of I kind of wish Florida would just can everybody just do it our way? If you do it our way, run elections our way. We have results by the night, at worst the next day. Draw your districts fairly, and then we can eliminate some of this craziness around the country. Good.
We weren't always that way. We had to learn our lessons order to get there. So
I think 2020 was a pretty watershed moment for our state.
Amen.
Hey, last thing. I don't know if you – I just thought it was interesting. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this, but Australia, I guess, is on the verge of taxing, like a journalism tax, 2.5%, I think, of all revenue for Meta, Google, and TikTok in order to basically redistribute money towards news organizations because – TikTok, Google, and Meta use that content all the time for no compensation. And they had a law related to this, and a lot of that stuff has gone away as well. I know you're very into social media and finding, ways to do it more appropriately. Does that model, is there anything about that model that appeals to you in this country for benefiting journalism?
So I've got friends that are still in the newspaper business. They own newspapers, and they are critical that they need to get a fee from the social media companies because these guys are creating the content. And it's the same thing I asked Sam Altman. I said, you get a business model that is it works because you scrape the internet for information.
Yep.
You're having more and more of these recipe websites that are putting their recipes behind paywalls. Because people go to ChatGPT and ask, give me a great recipe for, butterfly shrimp fried, And so, you'll get those recipes now behind a paywall. This is unfortunately one of the ways that they're going to have to do business because ChatGPT currently doesn't invent recipes, but they need them in order to keep their consumer happy.
Yeah, it's a weird scenario. On the one hand, we've all gotten used to everything being free, and we whine every time there's a paywall for a news organization, and yet we want news organizations. You know, somehow they have to be able to generate revenue. And as you say, Google has become the most obnoxious with this, where they'll give you the AI summary that doesn't even send you to the link. You don't get the ad revenue or the click through. It's crazy.
I click the reader a lot on the top of the search engine bar.
there you go. Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman for Florida, Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, as always, thank you so much for the time. I look forward to talking again next week.
Take care. Thank you.
You bet. 7:55, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. The accident we had earlier on Highway 29 has been cleared up. So good news on that. So no accidents to report to you. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing about a 7-minute delay. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, about a 6-minute delay. And 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, experiencing a 8-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you have a complex system in your house, electrical or plumbing or air conditioning or heating, Peden, they take care of that stuff, all of that stuff. You know, it started as heating and air conditioning back in the day, air conditioning really, but, you know, Panama City in the 60s, the idea was, hey, let's make people cold in the summer. I mean, okay, good. Well, they eventually expanded. Robert Peden expanded the business west to Pensacola, east to Tallahassee, and then west even farther into Alabama, Mobile, and Baldwin County in the last couple of years. Everywhere along the Gulf Coast, good products, good people, good installation, 100% satisfaction guaranteed on the work related to all of that stuff. So if it's a complex system, just call Peden. Now, this spring, you can get 2 years of smart care for free with your new air conditioning system if you purchase it from Peden. That includes scheduled maintenance, priority service, and 15% off repairs all included. You can call or book online at Peden, PEADEN.com.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3. 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I felt a great disturbance in the force, as if millions of voices suddenly cried out in terror and were suddenly silenced. I fear something terrible has happened.
Here on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline maybe for us. David?
Well, this is kind of a surprising one. GameStop wants to buy eBay. The video game retailer has made a $56 billion offer, suggesting $125 per share for eBay. So I'm kind of surprised they have that kind of capital to
David buys Goliath. What? I don't even
isn't
understand.
Isn't it bizarre?
Also, I guess I forget that GameStop still exists.
You and everybody else.
I know. It's like, you know, you saw the whole stock thing, and then I just, okay, so they're still there. All right. eBay, brought to you by GameStop.